element of what we find in the Scripture. So tonight, we're on actually what I have written up. It should say on your syllabus, Seven Mysteries, number 2. And we've already taught 1 Timothy chapter 3, God manifests in the flesh, which is the mystery of godliness. We should have taught that. We've also taught Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. So we've taught these two. So tonight, it's more in bold print. We're going to look at the mystery of Christ in you. And these are mysteries. So in your Bible or your syllabus, I've tried to make it as easy as I can for us. Now, people ask me, well, I've missed some classes. So have I. We'll make sure everybody's on the same page. We'll do a test review, kind of. So if there are any questions, my idea about testing anybody is not to see if I can give you a bad grade. It's just so there's acknowledgement that I got the material. I got it. I'm good, and we're good. And so it's that approach. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 2 is always kind of a springboard anytime you study the mysteries, and I've jotted it down there. Let a man so account of us as the ministers, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Then verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so he mentions the mysteries there, the stewards of the mysteries of God. So we're on what I'm calling the second mystery, and there's no real order to the mysteries, okay? It's just how I wrote the paper. Colossians 1 is where this one comes from, verse 27. And that scripture says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what the Gentiles have tonight is a mystery to the Jew, it's a mystery to the world, and it's a mystery to religion as a whole. And just because you're religious or in a religion, in a sect of some kind, someplace in the world, doesn't mean you get this. This is only for the people that are saved by the grace of God. And in being a saved person, if you were invited to another branch, like one time I was invited to a Presbyterian church in Delhi. I said, you surely didn't go preach over there. Yeah, I did. Candles burning, robes on. Somebody got up and read my text, asked me what my text was. They read the text for me. Somebody else got up and prayed for me. Then I was supposed to get up and speak. I say, what in the world did you preach on? I just preached on the cross, man. I didn't know what. But they doctrinally probably wouldn't get some of this. And it's amazing. So to whom revival did not break out in that meeting. So to whom God would make known, that's for Colossians 1:27, that is the rich, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And there's a lot of riches connected to this thing. So that's what we're discussing. So notice the mystery is that Jesus Christ is inside the saved man. That's it. Now, you say, you can't see him. I got Jesus in me. Yeah, sure. You know, people look at you like, man, you ain't right. And they're not going to get it because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But if you tell somebody that's saved, say, yeah, I know that. I've been knowing that for a while. They get it. But the world don't get it. Religion don't get it. The educational system don't get it. If you say you got, oh, one of them, you're born again. I got it. Yeah. And then they're going to mess with you. Get used to that. But it should not take away from the glory of this mystery. Rejoice in the fact that Jesus is in you. And so we're going to look at, man, that's just, you read that book by Harlan Popoff. I don't remember the title of the book. Some of you guys have read it. He was a prisoner in a Russian prison. And he's finally released, and he was a saved man. And all the beatings and things that he endured, he writes about that. But he's able to get through that because he had Christ in him. It's a mystery to all the atheistic jail people there. So here's a quote. How could a sinless, perfect Savior stoop down to come in and dwell inside my old wicked flesh? My unclean flesh that goes into the ground, worms eat it. A sinless man is inside a sinner. How do you explain that kind of thing? Did you ever stop to think about all the wickedness he has to put up with inside you? That's a mystery, man. And he says, I'm probably quoting out of the little book we had there. I like what Hugh Pyle says. The resident should be president. But he's not. We're the president. And that that, of course, grieves the Spirit of God, grieves the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, the border should be the boss. So there's somebody living in you that should be in control of all things. And that, in essence, is the battle. Pastor was in Romans chapter 7 tonight and discussing these kinds of things and how and the condition people are in by the message this morning about the sin of Adam and Eve, what caused a man to sin, and the absence of the presence of God in that person. So once you get saved, he moves back in. He's there. You say, what is that? That's the mystery of Christ in you. Try to explain that to your 8th grade teacher, okay? I remember getting saved, started taking my Bible to school. Somebody asked me, teacher asked me, why are you bringing your Bible to school? I got saved. You got what? I said, I got saved. You know, I'm born again. Jesus lives inside of me. Would you come with me? Lead me up to the principal's office, and I sat there for an hour waiting on the principal. And I guess she told him what was going on. Mr. Lane shut the door and said, she's awful concerned about you. Are you having trouble at home? I said, not anymore. Jesus lives on the inside. Oh, man. They think you need psychiatric help. Say, what'd they do to you? They turned me loose. They thought I was crazy like everybody else, you know. So here I'm quoting again, the border should be the boss. What does that mean? Well, that means if Jesus Christ is in you, he ought to be running things and not you. Now, obviously, the spirits of the prophet are subject unto them, so you should know what you could and could not do. But so often we listen to the carnal side of things, the human side of things, and we reason with the human side of things, and we end up doing the things, like Romans chapter 7, if you want a dialogue on it, we shouldn't do, we do them, and then we get in trouble. Jesus wouldn't do them. And somebody come up with that little acronym, WWWJD, something like that. What would Jesus do? And it works sometimes, but it doesn't work, I guess it wouldn't work for every situation, but you're getting ready to do something, anything, would Jesus do it? Does the Word of God substantiate it? Because if he lives in me, he ought to have a say in the issue. And he might say, don't do that anymore. And boy, that's a rough one. So there probably isn't a person sitting here that's saved that hasn't had to deal with the issue of that voice inside of you, in your head, in your conscience, that says, nah, you better back away from that. And you're like, wow, I've done this a long time. Yeah. You need to take another spiritual step. So just back away from that. And then when you do and you fight that battle and you get victory over it, you stepped away from whatever that was, and you look back at it, then you see, what did that verse say? Known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Then you see, man, and they sing that old song, and the glory did roll, that old quartet thing. And it does. And you say, man, how do I live? How do I do that? So that's the mystery of Christ in you. And then the guy I'm quoting again, if you're a Christian inside you, you've got a throne. And I like this analogy. There's room for only one person, obviously, on a throne. When you're on that throne, Jesus Christ is at the foot of that throne. And when Jesus Christ is on that throne, you're at the foot of the throne. Now, which is it, brethren? Are you running that thing, or is the Lord running it? There isn't any room on there for two of you. You're worshiping at his feet, or he's worshiping at yours, or that's where you've got him. And really, the analogy is, if you're not allowing Christ to rule your life, you're probably grieving the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Isn't that a disgusting thought? Sure it is. Him worshiping at your feet? Sure it is. But some Christians live like Jesus is just a spare tire. And if I should have a flat along life's journey, I'll fall down on my face before the Lord and cry, Abba, Father, and he'll come back and forgive me and pick me up. You know what? He will. But boy, that's a sorry way to live. It revolted Simon Peter. And when Jesus came around and said, I'm going to wash your feet, Peter said, you aren't going to wash my feet. And Peter couldn't stand the thought of the Lord kneeling down in front of him and washing his feet. And that's all taken care of in John chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. And you know what that meant. Peter was already a saved man. He just got dirty walking out in the world. And the Christian life doesn't get dirty walking out in the world. And you can do it in your mind. That's where it goes down. And if you keep on thinking on certain things, anything, long enough, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you got to be careful. And then those verses in Philippians that tells us to think on these things. So we get our minds off. We say, why? Because Christ dwells in you and he's a holy, just and righteous God. Yeah, it's a mystery. So we've got to deal with Christ living in us and bring him honor and glory. So that's the mystery of Christ in you. So a thought, you are a temple like the Old Testament temple. And a temple has a throne, and when you get saved, he comes inside you to sit on that throne, to rule and reign in your life. And the aspect of a throne in your life is how you're ruling your life. And and we're all rulers of our lives, but Christ wants to rule our life. Now, in that, I'm hopefully getting across the fact that we're intellectual enough, with humility enough to know that God is never going to put us in some kind of harm's way. He's not trying to make you look like a fool, in other words. Although the world calls what we do foolishness, I understand that. But God's people and the Lord is pleased with what we allow the Lord to do in our life. That's a lot said there. So, who's on your throne? The question. Only one can be on the throne. It's manifest in your actions. How do you act? And that's, people say, oh, now you're nitpicking. But, you know, it's a good thing to think about because, you ever hear of police call? In the military, they had a thing called police call. And to get their point across, they have you all line up across there, and it's all sand. We were down in Georgia, and all these barracks were about that high off the ground. They had you all line up. I mean, 250 men lined up. You went across the whole perimeter of your area, about as wide as this parking lot. Then they say, okay, everybody in the low crawl position. That meant down on your face, your belly. And you were going to crawl across that grounds and pick up any cigarette butt, any white piece of paper, any chewing gum wrapper, any disgusting thing that was on the ground, and they called that police call. I want my area to be spotless. And they'd have you crawl across that ground. Yeah, that was intimidating. And you picked it up, put it in your pocket, your hand, and you crawled 200 yards on your belly. Say, how many times do that? Once? Every one of us would have went AWOL if they made us do that again. That's kind of how life is. God wants a police call in your life. Police yourself. Analyze yourself. How am I doing, Lord? Am I pleasing you? Am I displeasing you? My actions, my words, my talk, my witness. And a lot of times, if you're honest with yourself, I'm just not quite living up to where I need to be. And that's an everyday battle, and everybody picks that cross up daily. So think about that. So what do people see when they see you? Good question. What do they see? How are you known? And a child is even known by his doings. Most times, we're sitting on our own throne and doing what we prefer, not what he prefers. Proverbs 23, verse 7 is a cornerstone verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, I quoted part of this, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And then in Corinthians, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So, because we're human beings and we're in this human body, man, I'm doing okay. I'm just about the most spiritual giant I know. You're already in trouble. Lay the shovel down, back away from the hole. And humility is one of the things that God honors, and it's probably one of the things that's most found. Boy, preacher, get around other preachers. There's so much ego floating around there, so much carnality floating around. Yeah, bless God, flashing them graduation rings from whatever college they went to and all that. I don't know if you've ever seen, but man, we've seen it. And I just don't fit in around those. But I'm not. I can't run with those guys. I don't know. And I just think a lot of problems there. So I've given you two thoughts there. And thirdly, when you turn the page in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I want to give you some verses that go along with the teaching that Christ is in us. And pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to explain because of our wickedness. And if you know notice a little tiny icon right there in the middle of the paper. I drew it the last time we taught it. You'll see me draw it a lot. And it's good. We were talking about pictures today, and I think when the little guy was led to the Lord, you guys were doing some picture work and some things. What did you use today? Do you remember? Is it too lengthy?
No. They just all got a piece of paper, and I asked them to draw something simple. They had like 3 minutes to draw something simple, and then they shared their picture, and then I had drawn the three crosses.
Right.
And I showed them my simple picture.
Right. Right. Good. Right, and that's good. And I think what she's kind of referring to, and I'll just put it simply up here, and you got, get out of the way, you got Christ, thief, and then other thief. One railed on him, and one believed on him. And as we've taught, humanity either lines up behind this crowd or behind this, and you have to make a choice on what you're going to do. And a lot of children will you say, well, are you with this guy that didn't believe? Or are you with this guy that does believe? And then they all of a sudden, when they see themselves a sinner, and that's where they're at. And I'm not saying that's what she taught, but I do understand what they're talking about. And this little graph that I draw is on three things also. And we use it, but it preaches of Christ in you. And what happens, and I don't want to wear it out, and I just won't refer much to it. It's the silhouette of a person, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And that spirit gets saved, or the soul gets saved from going to hell. The spirit gets quickened, pastors, verses tonight in Ephesians chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit comes in, and he knits himself to your spirit, and it causes that cutting away of that dead flesh. So you're at liberty to go to heaven. You say, what is that? That's the mystery of Christ in you in simple graphic form. And that'll help you when somebody asks you, well, okay, a lot of folks don't know what happened to them when they got saved. You say, why? They don't understand the mystery of Christ in you. And that's one of the simplest ways that I know to teach that or to tell that someone else, that Jesus lives on the inside of you and he performs a miracle or a circumcision, we say, the cutting away of the old dead flesh, separates the soul and the spirit, quickens the spirit of man, gets him out of darkness and puts him into the light of God because he is light. And then when that person dies, they step into eternity as a package, body, soul, spirit of man and spirit of God. The body goes to the grave, shall be changed. So that's one of the easiest illustrations. And I believe in graphics. I like art. I like pictures. There's a lot to be said. It doesn't take the place of the Word of God, but it's an aid in teaching and showing other folks. That's why we call it an art, form of art. Singing is an art. I mean, talent. It's an art. So there are different arts. People say, do you study the arts? I sure do. You know what they're thinking. Fourthly, Mark 7:21-23, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts. This is the natural man. Adulteries, fornication, murders. Verse 22. Thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So when the Lord moves in, man still has the propensity to do all those things. Because the flesh and the human side of things has never been altered. We still have the propensity to murder, cheat, lie, steal. You say, well, a saved person just wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, they would. Somebody that's not grounded in the Word, not knowing what the Scripture... When you get saved as a child like I did at 12 years old, why, if I never got into the sound of the Word of God, never got into the book, I could be a serial killer. I'm a gabbert. Got it in me. I'm a sociopath. Care about nothing. I'm really not. God's really changed me. And my wife gets, man, when I met you, she said, you were a mess. I said, yeah, I was. She said, the Word of God has really changed you. I said, yeah, it really has. And it's changed all of us, and it should. And that's Christ living in you. But you have to give Him a chance, a shot at it. And He's got a lot of work. They sang it tonight. He's still working on me. That brought back some memories. But not just the Holy Spirit is inside, but He said, Christ in you. Now, this is part of that mystery. We always say, well, the Holy Spirit lives in us. God is Spirit. Must be worship, Spirit, truth. Nobody can see a spirit, blah, blah, blah. But He says, Jesus Christ. How do you deal with that? How do you explain that? He can be inside every one of us that are saved, but still one Lord, one God, one Spirit. That's why it's a mystery. It's called a mystery. The mystery of the indwelling Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'll just tell you right, heads up, I can't explain it. I can't explain it. Two natures. The old man and the new man. Romans 6:6. We were in Romans tonight. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You say, explain that. I can't explain that. That's just truth. And boy, you'll be like Job, I abhor myself. I mean, when you get a real good look at yourself and who you are, you won't like what you see. One of the things they teach in Bible school when you learn how to preach, it's the preacher's class, gals. They say, never use an illustration about yourself. I was quizzing Titus about this. I said, how much did you have on homiletics? He said, oh, I had 2 years of that. And he said, well, they really drive home that point. Don't use illustrations about yourself. Don't make yourself out to be the good guy, the somebody. Because people just, you say, why are they like that? Because they know who they are and they know really who you are. In turn, you got to talk about yourself. Did you notice Phil Skipper, when he illustrated, he made fun of himself? He made himself out to be the bad guy. That was very wise. Now, he's been to college and school. I'm sure he's probably had some of that training. You say, what is that? He wasn't working the crowd, as we say, but he knew how to get across to the people and not turn them off. You're getting a little school on preaching here, too. So, but this mystery thing, it's tough, man. So you stay away from the illustrations about yourself. And, man, you better have some really good stories, and they better not always make you out to be the guy in the white hat. Amen? People get tired of that in a hurry. You'd be far better off to get an illustration book. And Bruce McDowell used to tell me this. Said, look, you ain't all that in a bag of chips. I said, yeah, I knew that. He said, you get TAMS 5,000 illustrations if you've got to have an illustration. An illustration goes along with about every point. If you're preaching a three-point message, you want three illustrations. And you would get some other great man that people might could identify with and could go back and check your record out, because you're laying it on the line and you quote that great person. And that illustration is to bring light or shed light on the message that God has given you for those people. And that's how it's supposed to work. So often it's not. We get caught up in the humdrum and we just tell the same old stories and same old stuff. I've got to be careful. My wife's a good critiquer. She says, you told that story last week. I thought, okay, I'll get off of that. And if you really want to listen to yourself speak, yeah, download yourself. You're going to get a chance to teach, speak, see what you sound like. Todd told me, my son, Dad, I make a radio broadcast every week. He said, I started listening to myself. He said, I said that? He said he had to edit that stuff out. I said, yeah, tell me about it. I've listened to myself. It's gaggy. Oh, I didn't mean to give you all that. Here we go. That's why it's called a mystery. two natures. I give you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look at, and I got Romans here. For what? Romans 7:15 and then 19 and 22. For that which I do, I allow not. And Pastor was on that, so I won't spend a lot of time here with that. For what I would, that do I not. He was just simply explaining to you the battle that you're going to have with Christ dwelling in you, and you're dealing with your old nature and the new nature, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God. But what I hate, that do I. And then you're going to get up and say, man, I did it again. Then verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So it's not, this really makes a lot of sense when you're a saved person reading it. A lost person reads this, that's just idle babbling. But to a saved person, that makes sense. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And that old nature is the sinner. He never gets, changed until we step out of this body, out of this life into the next. And then all your false doctrine gets changed. I mean, when you step out, I mean, you may say, well, I'm going to die on that hill. I believe that. But as soon as you step into eternity, everything you thought you knew, you didn't know, your doctrine gets straightened out at that moment. Say, why? Because you're hindered by the flesh, by that old fight, by that body. Paul says, I look through a glass darkly, but one of these days was looking forward to seeing Christ face to face. That took away all issues, all problems, all false doctrine. And you can bet, when people die and go out, step out into eternity, they become believers at that time, no matter what position they took here on this earth. So, you say, what is it? Part of that mystery thing. Man, we just can't see it. We don't know it. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So our inward man wants to do right. We have a loving heart, a loving spirit. We want to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, but there's something in me that says, who cares? Let them go to hell. And you're going to have to fight that all the days of your life. So, oh, I'm not like that. Please don't lie to me. Got that old stinking flesh. It kicks up its heels. It's so ornery, so mean. So, and if you don't do that, there's probably something else that you do that I say, what is it? That's the battle. And so that's good proof that you're saved tonight. If you're saying, I never have a battle like that ever, you might not be saved. So, let me give you those last couple of thoughts. Might also notice Romans chapter 7 in its entirety, and I'm not going to teach any more on that. It teaches on the two natures and on the battle that we experience now that we're saved. We've talked about that. And then the last thought here, when one keeps going back their old ways, doing their old thing, the things of the world, you can bet the Lord Jesus Christ is not on the throne in their temple. They are on their own throne, controlled by their old man, and the Lord of glory is grieved and quenched. And that's Ephesians 4:20 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, where he says, and quench not the Spirit of God. I have simply laid out to you the mystery of Christ in you and the battle that every child of God has. And the closer you live to the world, the more trouble you'll have. So you got to say no to the flesh, no to the world, no to the devil, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, something like that. Three things that we want to love. So that's kind of the mystery of Christ in you, and it's a good thing that he indwells us. Even at the end of the day, when you lay your head down, you might have failed 100 ways. You might have thought 100 bad thoughts. But you can say, God, I am so glad you walk with me. And see, he longs, John chapter 15, to walk with you, abide with you. We'll have felt, what's he say in John, 1 John? Somebody will have to help me here. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That fellowship that we have with one another is always centered around Christ. And we think, oh boy, we're going to fellowship. We're going to talk about fishing all day. It'll get old in a hurry. So the real fellowship is around Christ Jesus. And when he's in the midst, brother, the bread and the fish and the fire, they don't get any better than that. So, hey, that's the mystery of Christ. You any questions here quickly tonight or anything? Pastor Tom.
Any doubt about eternal security,
Amen.
Leave
thee nor forsake thee.
Also says, lo, I am with you always,
amen,
even to the end of the world.
Amen.
So you should never doubt your salvation if you understand that Christ is in you.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 14. And again, back to a little graph. When he moves in, he doesn't move out. You can grieve him and you can quench him, but he's there to stay. You say, why? He is married. And that's the story of the other mystery, Christ and the church and the analogy of the man and the woman. So that is a picture of eternal security. He is married to you. He is not going to divorce you. Say, well, I'll just... There's exceptions. People said, I'll send away my grace. No, you won't. If you want to walk away from God and you're saved, he'll take you home before your time. That's scripture, Pastor.
You mentioned that spirit of Christ, and the verse that says the Lord is that spirit.
Amen.
That he that hath not the spirit of Christ is none of his.
That's right. And ye are bastards and not sons. A crazy word you don't hear too many people preaching on. But, and hey, we have stillbirths. That's part. It happens. I have no statistic on that, but I'm sure it happens. I'm sure of it. Anything else? Good comments? Good finish? Doing pretty good? All right, we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for class. Thank you for each lesson. And bless now. Help us to live for you and dedicate ourselves to you like we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. God bless you.
Yep.